Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfie, the host of Religion Means Alive. Our dear brother and dear friend, Brother Dr. Rashid Shahad Al-Amin, will not be with us today. We are going to have him here via tape. And as soon as he's available, we're going to play a tape of him from 2 weeks ago. Information and knowledge is not stale, so we're going to have him on. If Mr. Joseph Muhammad would go and get the charger to the battery, we would really be most appreciative. He wants to remain anonymous, but we appreciate his quick. You're blocking my mouth, Sean. So we're honored and privileged. So we are honored today. Want to announce to everybody the convention that will be held in Chicago, the Mosque Cares Convention. It will be held in Chicago, in Tender Park, Illinois. And as soon as we can download this broadcast, we're going to replay it.
Put you on it to the laptop.
It's on the air.
We're on the air. I'm sure Excel.
People can hear you on the broadcast. Right. So if anybody would like to make a comment, see, we... Oh, no, let me... Okay. So we are waiting to replay a broadcast.
I'm just playing a random one.
So, is there anybody here that would like to make comments while we wait a tape of the broadcast? Please don't hesitate to call here. We have a momentary delay in the broadcast. Just a minute as we look for, we're doing a little technical, so be patient with us. Oh, yeah, we have our brother on, so we're going to get started. Our brother, Imam Abdul Aziz, is with us, and we're going to start out what was not a scheduled broadcast. We're going to play a thing, but he has arrived in the studio. He's dutiful, and we are excited that he will be in. I hope everybody will know that you can tune in via Facebook, or you can call into the show at 805-727-7013 and speak to one of our committee members of Mosque Cares Convention. I want to now take this time and opportunity. We don't have these opportunities every day. It's not promised that a people would have a leader, teacher, and a guide, such as Imam Warfuddin Muhammad. And we welcome someone from the 479 area code. First time we saw you on the live broadcast. Welcome to Religion Means Alive, as we welcome a member of the Mosque Cares 2014 convention, which will be held in Finley Park, Illinois. One of the members of the coordinating committee, none other than Brother Abdul Aziz. Welcome to Religion Means Alive, my dear brother.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Would you please proceed with an opening statement as always, and we will then come back to ask questions and discussions. Yeah, brother, just tell us, why are you supporting the Mosque Cares Convention? I'm sure Labor Day weekend you could be doing some other important things, but you've decided not only to attend, but to arrange for a bus to come to the convention. Share with us your feelings, your thoughts, your ruminations, and your inclinations.
Well, we want to begin with the name of Allah, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer.
And we want to say all praises due to Allah, the Lord and Cherish of all the worlds, the Master, the controller of all systems of knowledge. We praise him and we seek his aid. We ask that the prayers and peace be upon his noble messenger, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask that the prayers and peace be upon his family that follow him in purification. That we ask the same prayers and peace be upon the companions and the forgiveness and mercy upon their followers and their followers in the goodness of the day of judgment. And we humbly ask Allah to have his mercy and grace upon Imam Dr. Waqfi Muhammad. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship or praise except Allah, who is unique without any associate, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the servant and messenger. We want to begin by thanking you, Imam Alfred. We want to say, to answer your question, the question as to why support the Mosque Kids Convention. Well, it's not that's an easy question for me because of the legacy of Imam Dr. Waqfi Muhammad. And part of this legacy of Imam Muhammad is the Mosque Head. We know that his legacy embodies quite a few different things. The business initiatives, the interfaith initiatives, the initiatives in regards to the language, education. But Mosque Cares, at the same time, it deals with his humanitarian initiatives, that part of the legacy. And this convention always acted as a means to bring in the believers together at least one time a year from all over the country. So this is part of the legacy that was established by him, and it's part of our commitment. As far as I'm concerned, our commitment to make good on that part of the legacy. We can't let it die. I remember when I was a young man running around Harlem, not knowing my way, and there was an imam named Imam Ali Rashid. And he was indeed one of the true followers and students of Imam Dr. Waqfi Muhammad. And during that time, every time they received a hadith or some Quran or some tafsir from the imam, he would pay it forward. He would share it with the community. And even the brothers that we know that were in the institutions, they would receive information. We were some of the main people supporting the initiatives, the education, making sure that brothers got that information. But this information wasn't just some minor information. This information kept some of those very brothers off the street, kept me off the street, kept me out of the penitentiary. And when we look back at this legacy of Imam Dr. Waqfi Muhammad, we'll see that it also reads that it helped prevent a whole lot of madness in New York City. It helped prevent a lot of people from going down the wrong road. It also created guidance for the family, guidance for the individual, for the husband and the wife, for the child. So this legacy that we're talking about is just not something that we should be looking at lightly. We should be taking it as something very serious. So this year's convention is titled Reviving Our Unity Through the Legacy of Excellence. And that legacy that we know, that we talk about, is a legacy that was born out of conflict. We had to say no about something in order to get a yes. We had to turn away from a thing in order to turn to something. So this legacy that we're talking about is a legacy that not only dealt primarily with us as individuals, but as a community, as families. And it embodies all of that. And for us to turn away from it now and think that because he is not here, that we don't have to pay attention to the convention. We don't have to pay attention to coming together in Chicago or any designated area for that matter. I think that this will be a knock on that legacy. And I can truthfully say that I am part of that legacy if I turn around and not at least show my support. And even in the spiritual way, even if it's just praying for the success of the convention, I mean, I'm not that kind of guy. I think I need to do more. So it is my effort in this day and time to try to bring as many youth up there, because the imam was reported to have said or heard saying, give me a good future. Giving the imam a good future implies making a connection with our youth, giving them an opportunity to experience the convention, giving them an opportunity to experience the community on a national level. The leaders from all over the place, New York, Chicago, Texas, Florida, New Jersey, Connecticut, Kentucky, Louisiana, Detroit. Believers from all over the place converging on one area for the sole purposes of reviving our unity in the name of that legacy of excellence, that legacy of Imam Dr. Walter B. Muhammad. We can sit here all night talking about all the things that we got from the Imam, but let's talk about what we're going to give back. Let's talk about what we're giving back to the Imam. Let's talk about what we can give back to that legacy. What can we do now? We know what he did for us, but what can we do? What can we do? Or what are we willing to do? Or do we even think that there's some things that we should be doing? How do we repay such someone who has given so much? 33 years of his life. 33 years. And when you look at the Mosque Cares, you'll find that Mosque Cares happens to be headed by someone who didn't even ask for that responsibility, but took the responsibility as the Imam had dedicated it for him, and he has stayed there and stayed the course and has never given up. There's 6 years since the Imam's demise, and he's made sure by Allah's grace that there's been a convention every year. And when we look at that idea being presented, we have to go back to the original legacy. And that legacy is about paying forward. The Imam has paid forward based on the graces of God bestowed upon him. He paid forward and gave it to us. So now it's our job to pay it forward, to make the connection, to share that information that he gave us, to share it, but not only just share it, but to show its application. See, one of the beauties of that legacy of Imam Muhammad is that he showed us how to apply the Quran and Sunnah in our day and time and remain who we are and not violate any of the principles of the religion and not try to imitate anybody else. But he gave us that application, and that application becomes something that's current in our lives. Make no mistake, brothers and sisters. When we talk in terms of the legacy of Imam Dr. Walter B. Muhammad, you know, our joy, duration, comes as a result of how well we apply it. To apply it with knowledge, to apply it with certainty, to apply it with surety, to apply it with some level of high self-esteem, to apply it unapologetically. You know, it's one of the teachings of Imam Dr. Walter B. Muhammad. And for that, I am ever grateful. I'm ever grateful and ever proud to be a part of this association. Not because of the fact that we have gotten all this information, but this is what Allah chose for us. Because if you look back at the history, no one was concerned with us. No one was concerned with us when Allah passed away. We had one gentleman that was there concerned with us, who showed us his love and respect and honor and passed on the legacy of his God to us, and waited around 33 years, worked with us patiently, tirelessly, struggled with us, despite the noise in the background, continued to give us a good example. And he not only gave a good example in front of us, but he gave a good example when he went out. When he went out, he made representations of us all around the world. When he represented this community, make no mistake, brothers and sisters. When we talk about Islam, true Islam, we don't have to look far when we talk about that in relationship to Imam Dr. Muhammad, Rahimahullah. this legacy that we're standing on is one that we have to begin to think that we are accountable for. So I always tell people nowadays that all I'm trying to do is account for my seat. Me doing anything in the protocols is really of no consequence. It's really nothing special. It's something that I'm supposed to be doing. Not like I gained some kind of notoriety or I'm speaking any of that. I'm simply trying to account for my seat for what Allah has blessed me with. See, because where would I be without Islam? Where would any of us be without Islam? Where would we be had we not been blessed to cross paths with Imam Dr. Walfi Muhammad? Where would we be? Where would we be? What type of businessman would I be now? What type of teacher would I be? Or would I be a businessman or a teacher? Would I be trying to learn, earn an honest living? Would I have God in my life? Would Allah be in my life then? So Allah chose him. We didn't choose him. Allah chose him. So in that respect, looking at it from that standpoint, we find ourselves standing on the shoulders of a giant. Looking at a legacy that our youth should most certainly be a part of, and that we should be in a hurry to share with them, because it's not going to always be an Alpha, it's not going to always be an Alpha. We're not going to always be here, and we have to do the same thing the Imam taught us how to do, and that is pay for. So we would be at loss if we would not consider those who came before us. Imam Dr. Walfi Muhammad came before us, and he was among us, and he guided us and taught us. But we have to make sure that those people who were not in his presence, we got to make sure that they get the religion. We got to make sure that we get some stuff doing the dawah. We got to make sure that the name Imam Dr. Walfi Muhammad, the good name of Imam Dr. Walfi Muhammad, is not tarnished as a result of us not representing that legacy properly. So, in that respect, we look forward to everyone, no matter where you are, to come out. To come out to Chicago and Indiana, of course. And if you can get out there to a bus, train, however you can get there, we want you to get there. And we want to take as many youth as we can, the same way we did last year. But we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for continued success of this community, and the Muslims all around the world will be tried and tested. But we also want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us to make good on our commitment and allow us to pay forward in the manner pleasing to him. And we say ameen to that. Imam Alfred, I want to thank you for allowing me to come on. And I know we're going to ask questions, but I'm in the middle of traveling. I hope you can hear me well.
I can hear you very well. We hear you well. And I believe you are taking a bus to Chicago. You're heading up the delegation. Would you explain how one could be involved in the bus, how much it costs, who does one contact, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Okay. Well, right now, when we look at the contact number, you can take my number down at 646-353-0859. And we are looking for as many people to contribute, or if you want to try to get a seat on the bus, you can call us and find out if there are any seats available. But right now, we're looking for as many people to help us secure the bus, for secure the bus, inshallah ta'ala. And we know that we want to take at least 30 youth with us. Last year, we had about 35 of them. We're going to take more, but what happens is we understand that money is tight for everybody, and we weren't able to get the as much as that we want, which we really needed to secure the bus in time. So we understand that people are going through some stuff. Money is tight. So what we've done, we've developed a plan that, you know, each youth, it would cost them about $325 for them to get on the bus and have a room, and they would share the room with someone. And then we had those individuals who were just, and that was considered their, put into the flyer that would cover all of their food and all of that other stuff. And for the adult that wanted to come free, the price was $300. And for each adult at the same time, they would share a room. That would also include a room that they would share with someone. And then we were hoping and praying a lot that we were able to get enough adults and enough youth sponsors to be able to cover the whole trip. Right now, we got about half of that money now, and we're trying to get the other half together. We pray a lot, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are able to do it. And what we'd like to do is if you could go to the bus and donate 10, 20 bucks, 30 bucks, whatever you can would be sufficient enough for us. Of course, we know that the less is more, because the more people give a little, we'll be able to reach our mark and then be in the secure before next week.
Buddy, ma'am, can you tell us where the bus will be leaving from, how much it would cost? I will reserve 5 seats on the bus. I'm going to take my family. I want to be part of a delegation that goes with a distinguished group of Muslims, particularly from Masjid Yusuf Shah, my noted captain, Masjid honor and name in honor of that great man, Brother Captain Yusuf Shah, but may Allah's mercy forever be upon him. And just to name in and of itself, I know if he were alive today, he would be leading the delegation to see his leader. The president of Mosque is our governing body. So tell us how we can get contact with you. Secondly, tell us how we can get a seat on the bus. And what is it, $150 for the price of a ticket to ride if one already has the hotel? I want to be on the bus. You know what? In the days of Dr. King, I ran to be with Dr. King. In the days of the Ahmadiyya Muhammad, I ran to be with Dr. King. With the Ahmadiyya Muhammad. And in this day and time, I'm running to be with my kids.
Yes. That sounds great. Where we would be leaving from, there is a 2 designated area. One is, we haven't decided exactly where, but what it would be either in the Bronx or Manhattan. And if we had a New Jersey school, he would make a stop in New Jersey because it's along the route. It's along the route to Chicago.
Brother, you know what?
He would make a stop.
I feel like, you know, when Mama used to fix you that birthday present, you couldn't wait. You couldn't sleep at night. I could hardly sleep thinking about going to the convention and seeing thousands of people that think, act, feel, and desire the same thing I feel. I know these youth would be impressed with people. I hope and pray that we'll invite them, and may Allah bless us and give us hidayah and bless us to come. You can join the conversation. How long can you stay with us, buddy, ma'am?
I can stay with us for another half hour or so, because I got some things I have to get ready for tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
So I can stay with you for another half an hour, but I'll be back on when you need me on. So that we can actually continue the dialogue,
inshallah. Can you tell us what will the program consist of? Why should I? Firstly, if I'm a Muslim and Imam Muhammad is so safe, why should I come to the convention? Two, I'm just and let me just say that the second question is, I'm a non-Muslim. And I'm interested in knowing what Ahmadiyya Muhammad did. I'm interested in what his son, Imam Dean Muhammad did. Why should I come to the convention?
Hello? Hello?
Yes,
hello?
I'm asking why, if I'm a Muslim, from Imam Muhammad's community. Imam Muhammad has passed. Why should I come to the convention? And secondly, I'm a non-Muslim. And I'm just curious. I want to know why I should come to the convention.
Okay. The first question was, what kind of activities are they having? Yes?
Hello?
Yeah, the first question is activity. The second question is, why should I, as a Muslim, come to the convention? And number three, why, if I'm an African-American, I'm given neck bones, a salad green, why should I come?
Okay, to answer the first question, we have a number of workshops. In fact, we have a dynamic workshop by yourself. You know, Religion Means Alive. That's going to be conducted on Saturday. But we have a number of different workshops that's going to be done. And some of these workshops deal primarily with business, social concerns, health. We have youth workshops, Quranic recitation contest for the youth. And they're going to have several different other activities for the youth dealing primarily with their concerns. There's a lot of youth concerns that they're not really being dealt with. That are not being dealt with. And we've taken time out to get some of the best people from our association to come out and do these workshops. Now, we're not doing the workshops with just anybody. We're doing it with the best from our people. People are active, that are actually out there, and they're actually doing the work. We got workshops on the halal products. We got workshops on dealing with Muslim chapels, workshops on business and the computer world, technology. There's also going to be two breakfasts, the community family breakfast, and there's going to be the business breakfast on Sunday. There's also going to be the banquet, and which is always going to be nice, but they're going to have an excellent program set up, entertainment, all of these things are set up, and it's a social atmosphere to show that the believers can have fun. The believers can come together and enjoy each other's company. And we don't have to be from the same area. We're talking about brothers and sisters from all over the place. This is what makes it such a beautiful scene, because most of us haven't seen each other since the last convention or since Savior's Day. I was at Savior's Day, and I remember the last time I saw some believers was then in Chicago. But many of them was from all over the place. So it's an opportunity for us to engage in some very, very, very humble but beautiful social activities. And it's a good time to network. So these are some of the programs that are being offered along with the workshops, the dinners, the gatherings that we have, and the various other interactions. There's going to be the New Africa Marketplace, where they're selling all kinds of, the vendors are going to be there. It's going to be a wonderful thing. So we have a whole list of activities. In fact, we had so many workshops set up that we had to go back and make sure that we had all of them that were scheduled. So, and then we also went back and looked at the individuals that were going to be present, and all of them are confirmed. So we just trail out of we're there. Okay, for your next question, what was your next question?
The next question is, why should I, as a Muslim, come to the convention? And the third question, I'm just a regular African-American, I don't have any religious affiliation. Why should I come to the convention? What could I expect? How would it benefit me?
Okay. Why should I come? One of the reasons why is One of the reasons, or one of the main reasons for myself is we want to revive the unity. And that's the title, that's the theme of the whole gathering, reviving our unity. And we're reviving it based on a legacy of excellence. So we're simply seeking to revive our unity through coming together. So this is one of the reasons why many of us have been separate for the last 6 years since the Imam has since his demise, and Allah be pleased with him and have mercy on him. And the legacy is the very thing that brings us back together, because we need to go back to what he said and start talking about what he left as his legacy so that we can realize what he really meant to the community. And he didn't mean for us to be separate. He didn't mean for us to remain distant. So for those of us who are interested in having in their hearts that love that they have in their hearts for this association, appreciation for that, then they find all the reason in the world. They don't have to look too far for a reason to justify coming together. So that's why we should come. That's why we should visit, because it's a networking process. I've been so many places since Savior's Day. I've been all over the place, man, back and forth, networking with our brothers and sisters around the country about this same subject matter. And we need to understand that coming together, we don't just come together. We come together to start talking about putting in the work that needs to be done across the country. Many communities have things that other communities don't have, and we network in order to develop them there. So we talk about this reviving our unity, and we find that that is the main reason. And we revive the unity so that we can continue seeking the success that was intended at us, intended for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Your third question. The third question is,
as a non-Muslim.
Yeah, non-Muslim, why should
I
come?
From the
convention? Is there anything for me? Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, as a non, we want to encourage all of you who intend on going to invite, to bring somebody, to bring a non-Muslim with you, to bring someone there who has not accepted Islam as a dawah mechanism. One of the initiatives of Imam Dr. Waqf B. Muhammad was his dawah campaign. He had a very strong dawah campaign, and he had connections and lines that crossed all over the United States and across the world with the non-Muslims, with the Christians, with the Jewish community, the interfaith community. And he had established himself as a high-ranking individual in relationship to doing that dawah. And his dawah, he didn't just send people, he went on his own. And he was able to go out and be present. And they found comfort in the presence of Imam Dr. Waqf B. Muhammad, just like every non-Muslim should be comfortable around the Muslims. They should feel as though we have something to offer them, and we should be able to be the best salesmen of this religion. When we were in the Nation of Islam, I wasn't a member, but I had been around a lot of members of the Nation of Islam. These are excellent salesmen. How are you going to sell something to somebody and you ain't sure about it yourself?
Right.
So going to the convention is a way to show in the community that we got this thing together. And when they look at how we deal with each other, when they look at how we deal with each other, how we receive one another, how we protect and show respect to the pioneers, and how we bring our youth together, they would say, well, wait a minute, maybe I need to look a little closer about this thing here. Well, maybe I can use some of this stuff when I'm dealing with my own situation. Maybe Islam is, and as bad as what they said. So the game for the non-Muslim is that he's going to be turned up and turned into some, his insights are going to be turned up. He come with an open mind, an open heart, and I know if he makes it there, he's gonna be there. So let me tell you this. One of the main supporters of our association is the Folklore Group, Professor O'Hara, who last year had the pleasure of booking him for a workshop. He will be there this year again on Friday. and he will be doing his workshop at 3 o'clock. And his workshop is about the relationship between the Imam Dr. Wafi Muhammad's community and the folklore group. And he's going to be talking about that.
Okay, so we even have, so the relationship between the Christians and the Muslims will even be explored. So we're expecting an exciting workshop. Of course, religion means a lot. We'll be there loud in prayer. We're going to be calling the psychological and sociological advance, telling people that God is greater than business. He's greater in education, the Four Rivers, culture, and government. So we're expecting a big crowd. I would just add, you and my guest, I would add that if you're an African American, you are not alienated from us, because first, you're a Muslim by nature. Number two, you're a Muslim by heritage. And just come out and get acquainted, because what we want, God says in the Quran, that he has raised us up for all people, and especially for our own people. So we're here to help our people. We're concerned about what's going on in Fergusonville, Missouri. We're concerned about Gaza. I know a lot of people are concerned about what's going on in Gaza, but I'm concerned about what's going on in Gaza. What do I mean by Gaza? Well, we're guzzling blood in Jersey City. Used to be called Chill Town, Brick City, Newark, New York City, Harlem, Bed-Stuy, Brownsville. I'm concerned about everywhere we are. And therefore, I want to see everybody with our face in the place so we can talk about how to make the African-American community the newest African on the globe and make the world a better place for us all. So if you would join the conversation, all you got to do is just press one if you're already on the phone. I saw somebody from 469. We welcome you to Religion Means Alive. Just press one on the phone. You can ask the brother a question. I'm sure he'll answer it. Or you can dial 805. You're listening by browser. Those of you who are listening by Facebook. Also, I understand, brother, there will be an opportunity if you're single to get married. Is that true?
There will be. There's going to be a workshop on that. They're going to have a workshop on that, you know, on dealing with those issues. And there's going to be a wonderful workshop presentation done for the youth concerning keeping their deen, keeping it Islamic, you know, in our activities in daily life. There's going to be a serious workshop concerning gun violence and gang activity that's plaguing our Muslim community, that's plaguing our youth. There's going to be a workshop that I'm going to be doing in relationship to us allowing ourselves to become present in the masajid when the youth, making sure the youth have a place in the masjid, and that to inform them when they get there, because we're going to have a group meet and greet with the youth, and we're going to talk to them about why they are there. Why are we here? And it's going to be a very educational thing. They're going to have some fun too, but there's going to be an educational thing. They're going to be encouraged to take notes, and they're going to be encouraged to network with one another. And when they go back to their own communities, they're going to be commissioned to go out and approach their imams and say to their imams that, "Brother Imam, we need something for the youth here. Brother Imam, we need something for the youth." I talked to one of the Muslim chaplains, the president of the Muslim Association, Chaplains Association. He's going to be there doing the presentation, and he's going to talk about the importance of Muslim chaplaincy in the hospitals, in the jails, and all of these other places that you don't find Muslim chaplains. I also had an organization called Al-Shifa Incorporated, in which we deal primarily with our sick Muslims that are in hospitals, that are in nursing homes. And we go around starting study groups for them, talking to their families. We're there helping them write wills. We're there doing these things. This is on the ground. This is happening right now.
Brother Imam, what time will your workshop be? I want to come there because we have a lot of senior citizens who are left in nursing homes that we don't visit. And as she said, will you explain to our honorable and noble audience, this audience is primarily composed of non-Muslims. Our effort, we don't reach many Muslims here. We do reach Muslims. But this audience is a primarily non-Muslim audience. So share with us first of all, when we use Quranic terms, we always like for you to translate those terms, even if you give a word-for-word translation, so our audience would know what that means. What does the word Al-Shifa' mean?
Well, in this respect, Al-Shifa', it literally means healing. And when we talk about healing in this organization deals primarily with the concerns of those who are less unattended. Those are our elderly, those are our disabled, those are our youth who are disenfranchised. Now, there's two concerns that are immediate, and that is our pioneers who are in the twilight of their lives, and they're sitting in these nursing homes. They're not being able to receive halal food. They don't have anybody coming in, talking to them about Quran, reading Quran to them. And there was a gentleman who had been a long-time member of this association from the first all the way through the transition with Imam Dr. Wafuddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah. And he had passed away. He had lost his eyesight. He had lost his right leg and his left leg. And they said that, well, he had knew all these believers, but he only had one or two people coming to visit him. How was his last day spent? Did he hear Assalamu Alaikum that day? Did he hear something from the Quran? Was he reciting La ilaha illallah before he passed? No one knows because no one was with him. So this bothered me so much to the point where I was compelled after completing 4 units of the CPE training. And I used to go to the hospitals and I used to notice how many people in the hospitals, whether they're Christian, Muslims, or Jew, they were there and they had no cards. They had no balloons, no visitors. The lights were dim in the rooms. And these men and women who sat in these rooms, they would sit there in the twilight of their life, at the end of their life, with no one checking on them. So as she found, the healing incorporated is a spiritual socialization program, organization, that is a continued spiritual socialization, meaning that people come to visit you on the basis of continuing your spiritual life, whether you're a Christian, Muslim, or Jew. So we're developing it now, and we are there right now. Visiting people in the hospitals. During Ramadan, one of our patients had was waiting on a heart transplant. And this young man was from the United Arab Emirates. And he's only 11 years old. And he had expressed to me that he wanted to fast. And his mother and father was there. And they couldn't fast because of their medical conditions. 2 days later, Allah blessed them with a heart. During this month of Ramadan. 2 days later. So I went to see him after the transplant, and you should have saw him. And he's there now. He's over there doing the therapy and all of these things. But the spiritual socialization that he had nobody coming in. So they asked me to come in to see him. And now we're almost inseparable. The reality is that touching the lives of those who came before us is imperative. Why is it imperative? It's imperative because there have been some people who made some sacrifices before we got here, and had it not been for them, where would we be? So we take that seriously. I'm very passionate about that, and we'll talk about that a little bit during the convention. But some of the concerns that we have to bring out to the forefront, these are things plaguing us right now, affecting us right now, and it is a crime to know that you're in the hospital and I don't come see you. It is a crime. You don't have to call me. All I gotta do is know you're there and I'm obligated to see you. So it's important that we look at that and we look at some of the other concerns to develop a program with the youth that would allow them to become entrepreneurs, give them microloans, help them come out of the street. A lot of our youth, our Muslim youth, especially the ones that came with me last year, many of them, they study in the Quran and they're living in single-parent households, but they're trying to remain Muslim. And they have nowhere to go. And we have to make it important issue for us because I checked with one of the Muslim chaplains and he said that there was 100 Muslims in his facility. And all of them came in Muslim. This is not supposed to happen.
These are people that come from our homes. So you're telling me that Muslim children, I mean, growing up in the mosque, practicing Muslim, the so-called practice, and they are in correctional facilities. What are they doing there? Are they there visiting? Are they coming there as teachers or perhaps even as correctional. You don't mean that they're acting things, do you?
They're coming in there as people who had got sucked up in the gangs, who got sucked up into the fast life, who got sucked in to all of those social ills that happens as a result of not having Islam.
Do you mean to tell me, maybe I should ask you this question. Is there any social service program that Muslims I know, I've heard of, I don't know the facts, but I believe I've heard that there are even persons who have been Muslims who have drug problems? Are there any programs will be convicted to help those persons?
Well, we're going to try to have someone there this year. At the last moment from the Miladi Islam, which talks primarily about that. It's a major concern. There's concerns that also stem from the health issues. There are concerns related to the social ill of the AIDS virus in the Muslim community that we're not talking about. And we want to start talking about that and making sure that brothers and sisters know that these are the same concerns that the non-Muslims have. We have the same concerns. There's domestic violence in the households. There's illiteracy issues in the households. There's a disenfranchisement in the households. I had a talk with one of the Muslim youth, and he was concerned because he felt as though he had no one to talk to. He had no one to talk to, and that there's no place to go. So where did he go? He went out there, and instead of him being Ali, now he done changed his name to Big Al. He done changed his name now. So now you don't even call him Ali no more. You call him by his street name. And all of those things that come as a result of that. So we want to act as a means of intervention. We want to at least say that we tried. We can't say we tried if we did nothing. And that's the effort that we're trying to put forward. So while we are trying to put together the convention and all of this stuff, help with that, we're also on the ground doing all these other things. And this is what the religion represents. When we talk about the example of Imam Dr. Walt D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah, the example of Prophet Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we find that these were men that were on a mission. That they didn't spend a lot of time doing nothing.
But, Imam, can you talk? I have to take a very important overseas call. Can you talk for another 10 minutes and conduct the rest of it? Because I know you don't have to say. Thank you.
No problem. So when we talk in terms of Imam Dr. Walt D. Muhammad, we look at his example. We find that his example was that of a man on a mission who was driven, who when he accomplished one thing, he went to something else. And when he accomplished another thing, he went to something else. And he always encouraged us to be positive. He didn't encourage us to become people who argued with one another, who boycotted one another. He encouraged us to be together. He didn't encourage us to be the type of people that one day I love you, the next day I don't, that I can't go through any trial with you. He encouraged us to be together in all matters. We have a show that comes on Monday nights, American 360, Ma'iyya ala Kulli Hal. It is born out of that reference, togetherness under all conditions, under all circumstances. So when we look in terms of an example in our life, and we look at reasons that we should be so pleased with giving our support to mosques, to our association, to the non-Muslims that are there, to the non-Muslims that are in our communities, that we address these social ills that have been plaguing the community, and we remain silent on these issues. Many times over, we'll see a matter continuing to be afoot when we don't say nothing about it. And all we have to do is just raise our voices and then become people who act upon it. When we do our dawah represents how we live and what we want in our future. Our efforts toward developing a community of excellence. All of this comes round circle. It comes full circle when we talk about all of the things that we need as a community, all of the things that we would like to see. And we don't want to just become those type of people who are just doing a whole lot of talking. We want to become the type of people that when we set out to do it, we say make our intentions. We begin with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and we go forward and we do the work. We don't worry about what we're not going to be able to accomplish. There's no doubt in my mind about us getting to Chicago this year. I don't have any doubts about it whatsoever. Why? Because that's not how our association was trained. We were not trained as those who give up. Allah tells us, all you believe, obey Allah and obey His messenger and make not your deeds vain. So when we talk in terms of making things happen, all we have to do is go forward. Go forward and Allah will bless us. Many times over, we'll look back at our history and we'll see that during the time of Elijah Muhammad, they didn't know what was going to happen. They started out in Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee. They didn't know what it was going to become, but it was through that faith in the unseen that they were able to establish businesses, communities, schools, and all of these things. And then we got to the point where we, out of the sincerity and trust in Allah that we had, Allah blessed us with mainstream Islam. But our job is not done. Remember, the imam was a man on a mission. You accomplish one thing, and then you go and you accomplish something else. A lot of times over, we're not going to see what it's going to be like until we stand the course. The imam said, follow the logic to its logical conclusion. So that means that there's going to be some level of uncertainty. There's going to be some level of trust in Allah that we have to implement. There's going to be some faith that we have to implement. Our progress represents that. When you see those of us who have succeeded, you'll find that there's been many people who went on the same road but turned back. And the only reason why they succeeded is because they kept on while others turned back. The imam a few years ago, when Allah be pleased with him, he had a convention, and the title of the theme was, "We Can't Stop Now." And he talked about us not stopping now. A sister asked him in one of the sisters' meetings in Atlanta. She asked him about that theme, "We Can't Stop Now." What can we do concerning "We Can't Stop Now"? So what happened was the imam explained to her that many times over we look back at Suf, we look at Harriet Tubman, we look at all of these individuals who sacrificed their lives in the cause. And he said that when they died, this is where it was born from, because they died and they sacrificed, we can't. So when they're no longer here, we have to keep going forward. We can't stop now. So join the truth. We can't stop now. Harriet Tubman, we can't stop now. Joanne Chesmar, we can't stop now. And so on and so forth. And then he ended it by saying, Warif D. Muhammad, we can't stop now. Brothers and sisters who are listening, we can't stop now. We cannot stop now. Now is not the time for argumentation, debating.
It sounded as though you mentioned Joanne Chesmar. I haven't heard from her in years. You mentioned the Harriet Tubman. So you're saying to me that Imam Dr. Warif D. Muhammad is continuing the work of Dr. Martin Luther King?
He's continuing that work. He continued that work.
Yes.
Say that again.
So you also are telling me, what's the name of the theme this year?
Reviving our unity through the legacy of excellence.
Now that would include Booker D. Washington, Carter Woodson. That would include Dr. King. That would include the Freedom Riders. That would include Marcus Garvey. That would include the great Michael Manley. That would include all of them. Because it seems to me that's what they were about. I think we're on the same page. Can we follow that logic to the conclusion?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And may Allah continue to bless us to be successful. Yes, sir.
Let's get the commercial again. How does one get there? Tell us where it's located at. Tinley Park, Illinois, Convention Center. Tell us how we can get hotels, how, in fact, we can even get bus transportation to the place. I expect to see you at the convention, dear people. All of Religion Means Alive. I want you all to come. I want everybody who Religion Means Alive was employed by the world. Well, a carnation. I'm going to be walking around with a red carnation on. So you'll know that religion means alive. We can't stop now, and I'm going to tell you another thing. We cannot be stopped now. What would you say, Brother Imam, to the people in Ferguson, Missouri? Those people were discussing that our Brother Michael Brown was killed. What would you say to those people?
Well, what I can say, repeat that because you were going out. Could you repeat that?
I'm sorry. I want to say, I just got a little excited. Please forgive me. But what can you say to the people in Ferguson, Missouri, where an innocent African-American was shot down by the police? Is there any way we can revive our unity through excellence to help prevent a Michael Brown from dying?
Yes, and one of the issues that's present is the fact that we can show our solidarity through the excellence of peaceful resolution. See, what happens with us is this. He wasn't the first one of our youth that was killed by anyone from the police department or even a civilian. We know that this year alone we watched several of our African American youth die at the hands of law enforcement and civilians, and how they went to trial and the person got off. And what happens with us is that when we respond with violence, we kind of take away from that person's nonviolent legacy. And what happens with us also is that they don't hear us no more when we respond in that way. And we know that the emotions run high. We know because we feel the pain as well. But we know that there has to come a time to say enough is enough. And that we begin to do the things that will make our efforts the most effective to get the best resolution, the results, so that they can establish some level of sensitivity training. We hear that the police department was 98% Caucasian, yet the state, that town was 3/4 African American. We don't understand the disparity. But we also know that that's not done by accident. There's a design that's out there. And we have to be able to pull the sheets off of that design. And we're not going to be able to do that by responding by tearing up stuff. Tearing up stuff, all that's going to do is allow their prisons to become full again, to book up the court calendar, to open up the hospital some more. So even then, you're still taking money out of the community. You've done nothing to justify some relief. All you did was open the door for continued hardship. And our efforts should be more intelligent. Imam Muhammad, in his first speech to us, when he first came into office, and he talked about the winds of emotion, and he said that we were not to respond like babies. That we are intelligent people. Even the unranked members amongst our association are intelligent. So he said that when the winds of emotion come to this house, he says not even the blinds are shaken because we respond intelligently. And we have to share that same sentiment with those who are heavy on emotion. We understand where you're coming from, but we got to get to where the solution is more effective. Some of these goals, we have to bring them to the forefront. We have to get some success, and the only success that we're going to get is out of our intelligence and our sincere efforts, not out of the emotion. Look at the idea concerning why the trials and tribulations are continue to affect the people of Palestine, the people of Lebanon, all of these people who are responding emotionally. You shoot something in the air and don't touch nobody. They come and destroy the entire town. So that's not a solution. That's justifying their continued wrongdoing. So, brothers and sisters, please be mindful of this idea being presented. We have to be smarter than that. The Quran tells us that we are the best of the people, established, set out for all mankind to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong, and we believe in Allah. So what is that saying to us? It's saying that if we are the best of the people, then we have to be the best in what? In our thinking. We have to be the best in our judgment. We have to be the best in our decision-making. We have to be the best in our representation. We have to be the best. And the only way we're going to do that is that we will remove emotion from a means of application.
Brother Imam, let me take a station, but Dear beloved people, you're listening to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred. The host of Religion Means Alive. We're on the air every day at 6 o'clock here on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to ask each and every one of you to let to know, week before last, we were off the air for a few, almost a day. I'm told we were on, but we hadn't paid the bill because we didn't have the money. So we need you to send your donations to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. This ministry is moving. We are very soon going to be touring this country. We just need your support. And send your donations again to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Now return you back into the hands of our dear brother and dear friend, Brother Imam Abdul Aziz of the great city of Money Earning, Mount Vernon. Hey, the city that produced Puff Daddy. He may be puffed up, but he's still our daddy. The city that produced, Thursday Pie, she's in the sister city. But the other brother, what's his name, that passed on is just born. What was his name? Every D. Yeah, Every D. That's the city of Every D. So all the money earned in Mount Vernon, and I hope one day they'll name that city Yusuf Shahville, because he was a man that worked for Westchester County, and that town, if we go to work in Mount Vernon, it'll really truly be money earning Mount Vernon. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. So I wanted to thank you for allowing me to come on and just say a few things. I pray Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what was said there was of some good. I know for sure that's from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I said anything wrong, it was definitely for myself, but not intended. And we pray Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he grants us the success in the immediate way and down the road. And to that we say ameen. May Allah continue to bless us in our efforts. May he continue to bless you and your family. And I want to thank you again, Brother Imam. And anytime you need me, just give me a call, inshallah ta'ala.
I thank you so much. Thank you, dear beloved audience. We were wondering what you all think of what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri. It merits the President of the United States to make a statement, and it merits Religion Means Alive to make a statement. We say that we support all citizens having constitutional rights. We also say we oppose any type of lynching and no policeman under the color of law to take someone's life. We also say that African-American communities must become peace builders. And that means that we are praying and working hard for an urban peace initiative so African-Americans will not kill each other. Let's stop the killing. Let's put on a mask. Hug campaign. Let's not be into a thug campaign. Let's send Rick Ross and his team back to the prisons to work as correctional officers rather than producers of prisoners. I'm speaking of none other than Mr. Shepard, known as Rick Ross. Rick Ross is just an entertainer. 50 Cent is just an entertainer. These men are men who have been charged with the task of manufacturing fools. They have been charged with the task, and they are chairperson of a corporation called FBI, Fooling Faction Corporation. So let's end our work, and let's call our youth to productivity. Let's call our families to love. Let's call our people to reconciliation. The phone lines are open, 805-727-7013. Callers from Florida. I see callers from 479 area code. 479, you all, I would love to hear from you. I don't know who you are. But all you're going to do is press 1 on your phone, and you will be answered. guaranteed. Anybody like to make a comment on Ferguson, Missouri? What's going on in Ferguson, Missouri? I heard a good fact that we have a sister out there, the senator, state senator. Her name is Sister Jamila Nasheed. And I'm telling you, 40 years ago in the community of the Nation of Islam, we didn't have people in the United in the state senate. We didn't even participate in the political process. Through the work of Imam W.D. Muhammad, we have people, state senators, state legislators. We have people everywhere, judges. So we're moving on up to that deluxe apartment in the sky, but the true one. And we're comical, but we're very serious. So anybody would like to make a comment, you can just press 1 on your phone, and you will be answered. You all help me out. We got about another 4 minutes. I mean, another 24 minutes. That's a long time. And I'm not really prepared nor energized, but I am pumped up because I intend to be at the Muslim convention. I'm going to be at the Moscow convention, 10 o'clock, Illinois. Those who are coming from the East Coast, take 80 all the way out to Tinley Park. If you come out to Tinley Park, it's a beautiful city. The Tinley Park Convention Center is marvelous. Let's pack it. Let's call the hypocrites and disbelievers just to die in outrage who thought they're going to destroy Imam Muhammad's community. Well, you should be ashamed of yourself because you're not going to do it. You're only going to cause yourself more headache. It's going to be packed. We're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to have Jummah being conducted by Imam Wazir Ali of Houston, Texas. We hope to get him on the air. So we're looking forward to a live, powerful convention. Anyone like to make comments? You all will let me work this hard. I'd like to hear some comments from you. Great. Got a brother here coming. That's a real brother. Any of the rest of you all will be welcome to come in. Welcome to Religion Means Alive. Assalamu alaikum, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You're on the air.
No, this is not Fort Lauderdale. This is Orlando.
Orlando, Florida. Well, I'm thinking about Disneyland right now. I'm getting ready to get my swimming trunk right now. Okay, yes, sir. Welcome, Brother Ali.
Walaikum assalam. I just want to say to you, Brother Alfred, and to the community at large, a belated Eid Mubarak. But I'm in the process of, inshallah, trying to establish a dawah effort in the area that is specifically geared toward the language of Imam Waqf Deen Muhammad. Florida is a very big state, so the differences between the different masjids that are under the leadership of Imam Waqf Deen Muhammad's ministry, sometimes we are not in tune with each other. I would just like to make a suggestion to you, Brother Alfred, that you make a public appeal while you're on broadcasting to everyone throughout the nation that is listening to you, that they do something on their behalf as far as letting brothers and sisters and then Muslims be aware of your broad talk sessions. This is an effort that I'm trying to establish in Central Florida and get the word out that we should support your effort and other efforts where there's block talk. I've listened to Imam in Oakland and several others who have had block talk sessions, and really we should get behind each other and support one another. But mainly, the main thing that I want to address is that a lot of times we don't know in Florida what may be taking place in Tennessee or in New York. and something may be critical that's going on, and the communities in the respective cities and states can get more support if we had more visibility and more contact, more communication. Now, I know we have the Muslim Journal. Unfortunately, a lot of brothers and sisters are not supporting the Muslim Journal. And then also we have the website of Imam Wahdeen Muhammad. And a lot of brothers are not even tuning in to the website. So we really have a big communication barrier right now. You know, I think the spirit is high, but a lot of times we miss each other, and we are misinformed because we are not in touch with one another. In fact, I didn't even know that Imam Siddiqui was on Sean Hannity's show the other night. It just so happened that I got the word at the last minute. But that's what I wanted to address, is the fact that we need a real big effort to communicate among one another in different states.
Mr. Siddiqui was this on. I didn't even know about it. Thank you for telling us.
Yes, yes.
Which
yes.
brother that was on Hannity show?
Yes, Imam Siddiq, yes.
Siddiq, Muhammad Siddiq, or?
Muhammad Siddiq, yes, Sister Khadija's father.
So he was on the Sean Hannity show. What was he talking about?
Yes, yes. Basically, I missed it, but I was informed by Brother Salim Muhammad, who listens to your program as well, from Atlanta, who acknowledged that he was there. But I did go online on the website. They mentioned Cornel West, Dr. Cornel West, and they mentioned the Ferguson, Missouri situation, but they didn't mention anything about Imam Siddiq. So I tend to take that as being the fact that they are trying to blot out insane and sober-minded messages that come from Muslims.
That's right. That is exactly. Well, we got to get louder. We want to take religion means alive to the airwaves, even to the television waves. You know, we can't expect people who held us in chains for years, and I'm not saying all of these, but there's certain elements in this people that doesn't want to see us have dignity. But one of the beauty of America is, and among its many beauties, is that we are available to assist America, and America is available for us to receive its assistance, but for that, you have to pay for it. You can buy time on television, and we can do just like T.D. Jakes. We can do just like Cuerpo Dollar. We can do just like all the rest of them. They buy time on TV.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people are getting angry because of Citizens United for America allows corporations to buy enormous amounts of time. I don't get mad with them. Get even. Put your money, nickels and dimes together, and it's our intention to be on regular radio and on TV. And this is just the beginning of what we plan to do with Religion Means Alive.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. One other thing that I want to mention is that is in our respective communities where there's very few members that support the ministry of Imam Wahdeen Muhammad, we should at least try to find some commonality as far as supporting each other economically. I've been a part of several collective purchasing programs, well, they call them co-ops, cooperatives. Muslims need to form more cooperatives in their respective areas as well as the at-large community. You know, because as long as we keep spending our dollars and they're going into the general public and to the societies that are not really supportive of Islam, we're gonna lose the battle. We have to learn to support one another. We have to get rid of our grievances and our dislikes for each other. Whether the person has a beautiful mentality or not, we should still be supportive because he says, La ilaha illallah. And this is all I have to say.
You had a lot to say there. That's profound. You said that's all you had to say. But you have spoken very profoundly, and we certainly appreciate your comments. And if there are anybody else, thank you so much, dear brother, from Orlando, Florida. We appreciate your emotional, your spiritual, and your other contributions that will remain anonymous. But we do lift you up and dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope to see you at the convention if you can make it.
I'm making the effort to be there. Yes, inshallah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And please, we're going to do a workshop on Saturday. We want all you all to come at the Religious Teens Live workshop at the convention. Give it up, people.
Yes.
We have about 14 more minutes, and I don't want to go off the air because there's people who are listening, but I'm running out of gas. But anybody want to make any comments, I want to hear from our respected caller in the 479 area code. I don't even know what 479 is, but I know one thing. Our brother Ali must have been doing good work because he's spreading the word, and we're getting new people. Secondly, if you would like to host an additional Religion Means Alive, just let us know. And if you know of a guest, please let us know. We are trying to get all kinds of guests, whether they be Muslims, whomever they are, to have something to contribute to make the world better. I'm going to participate in an Earth Day celebration to improve our planet. I don't think it's Earth Day. I don't know what they call it. It's really about healing the planet. That's going to be held at the United Nations sometime next month, I think the 16th, and there's going to be a Muslim section there. So we as Muslims should be concerned about our planet. We should be concerned that the world is better. We should be even concerned about the state of animal care. You know, I'll tell you something. You look at how animals are treated in America and the world, it sickens you. And that's why we have to push more and more halal slaughtering, halal care of our animals. So we surely appreciate you and appreciate all that would like to help. We are still on the air, and if there are any other callers or comments, please, I know today is unusual for me to be on the air because of the fact that Thursday is not my day on the air. We have the health care program with Brother Dr. Rashad Elamine, but he was otherwise engaged. So if nobody else, I'm going to go off the air. I thank you. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. We're going to go on off a little early today, and I'm going to play up the beginning of another broadcast until 7:30. Thank you. Peace be on you. See you tomorrow on Religion Means Alive.
Log Talk Radio.
Peace be on our honorable, noble listening audience. We'd like to greet you all and welcome you to another edition, October 6, 2013. And also, today is the first day of the Hajj, the 12th month of the lunar calendar. We greet you all in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu Alaikum, that is the peace that Allah gives. We are obligated to keep it. We welcome you again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. We have coming up soon our Imam Alfred Muhammad, who will lead us in our Sunday public address, bringing us timely issues, timely concerns, and also motivating us and inspiring us to continue the great work of propagating the religion of Al-Islam, the way of the peaceful submission to the one God here in the shores of the United States of America, and also reaching out to those of the African, on the African continent, on the European continent, Asian continent, and the like. We'll share some brief comments and introduce our brother to you all. We do like to give a very special shout out, recognizing his day of birth or day on this earth, one of our own brothers in the struggle today, Ismail Qadar, who is the young male of the year at the Mosque and Muslim Convention. We wish him, we greet him with the blessed birthday, Earth Day. Also this day, we are told in history of our struggle here in America was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I know they had him recorded as the 7th of October. I want to say 1800s. I don't have those numbers in front of me. But there's something that I thought about as I was thinking about this day, the 6th day. We're given in the Bible the scripture of the Christians, the revelation that came before the Quran, given in our book, or given in the book of the Quran as the Injil. It is reported that on the 6th day, God created man. And also, we're told that that day also there were the birds or the fowl of the air. We're given in the tradition of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in his writings and his recordings, that he said that Adam was born on that day, and he will be resurrected. He died on that day, and he will be resurrected on that day. And that Adam is at 60, the length, or the height of Adam is at 60 arms span. We were given several insights or education on that from our Imam and leader and teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad. I don't have those notes before me, but it's something for our students to research, the significance of that identity of Adam being born on the 6th day and being the creature or the one whose length is a 60 arm span. But in brief, we'll try to recall some of our understanding and share with you all that. And also that day is the day of gathering, the day we call, known as the Jumu'ah, the day of gathering. And we know we're coming in the season, as they say, the harvest season, where we see the fall, and that also a reference to the fall of Adam. So we want to slow down a little bit and recall some of these concepts that is coming to our mind fast, is rushing to our mind. But we always ask Allah to guide us, to protect us, and to have mercy on us, and forgive us of our shortcomings. And so reflecting on this day of gathering and of 60 arm span, 6 we know has many symbolic references or picture meanings. One of them that comes to my mind now is the earth or the ground. And 10 also has reference to consciousness. So this 60, 6 times 10, is bringing the conscious man in the ground, in the earth. That the day humanity gathers together and produces that enlightened man, the man who is, we will say, a scientist. He is conscious of his responsibilities in the earth. And as human beings, as descendants of Adam, that original nature, this is the responsibility of all human beings, to be conscious of their work on earth. For we know that another illustration shares with us that we were in a state of peace, of security, and a heavenly state, a garden of paradise. And something crept in, or there was one who suggested that the knowledge that the human being had access to, the universal knowledge that was acceptable to all human beings, had access to, there was one tree or one body of knowledge that we were told to stay away from, and we are told that when you go near that tree, we will be of those who transgress. Simply put, that the knowledge that takes humanity away from its original nature, the knowledge that distracts the human being from being one with other human beings, is a knowledge that we should stay away from, or a system or a scheme that we should stay away from. And those who take that into consideration or take that into their societies, those societies, we believe, are doomed and are of those who are on the first level. But when the revelation comes after the man or the human family has slipped into that era of believing that their knowledge, their discoveries, the African discovery is the African discovery, the European discovery is the European discovery. When they get past that small notion or that small view of knowledge and they get into that universal, that all knowledge comes from the Creator. And every human being or any person or any society who's been blessed to bring that knowledge out, they have a responsibility to share with others. And again, on that last day of Mount Arafat, the ninth day of this blessed month of Dhul Hijjah, as the Hajis, those who are over in the sacred mosque, when they reach that completed day, that ninth day, they'll be on Mount Arafat or the mount or the place of getting to know each other. And so that's where we ask Allah to guide all of us, those who are listening and those who we share this message to, that the individual and the local societies who've been successful in their history to gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding know that it is the victory of all humanity. And we take that and we love that and we're thankful to Allah for that. So again, recalling of our responsibilities on this earth. We're not only responsible to be productive and work and to be builders of a great society, we're also responsible to lend a hand to those who are disabled, to those who've been hindered from that path, that natural path, to grow in the earth and become established as a people and as a community. We have a great responsibility, and we hear that all the time when we listen to Imam Alfred Muhammad, recalling to our attention to continue the struggle of productive community development throughout this part of the world, and not to feel naive in the sense that the struggles that we've been through is enough for us to be successful. But we also have to think, and we also have to continue to learn. We have to look at other people. The Quran reminds us, the book of Allah given to the Prophet Muhammad reminds us, that do research. Go throughout the earth and see what was the end of those who came before you, who were greater in you in might and numbers, or in knowledge and understanding. So let us not be complacent. Let us not be comfortable, though we might have succeeded in many ways in this part of the world, in our religion, and in our way of life. Let us continue to grow, because there's a generation coming up who has been divorced or separated from that inheritance. And that's why myself and Imam Alfred and Ismail Qadar and all those who show their support for our initiative of our presidential tour, where we're reclaiming our inheritance or claiming our inheritance. For some, they're claiming. For others, they're reclaiming. But for all, we have a right to that inheritance. That inheritance, that inherent nature, has a knowledge that is needed. The inherent nature is in need of a knowledge for it to continue to grow. If that inherent inborn nature is cut off from the knowledge that is needed for it to grow in the day when society is high-tech, highly advanced in material sciences, it will become regressive. It will go opposite in human sciences and our behavior science. Though we'll be in a highly advanced technological world, we'll be functioning other than human beings. And as we said, and we recall that the Prophet, peace be upon him, Muhammad, the seal of the Prophet, the messenger of Allah, said that we was born on that day of Adam, we will die on that day in Adam, and we'll be resurrected upon that nature, that original nature. Lastly, before we turn over the mic and introducing our beloved leader and teacher, who's a great student and a great motivator and a great worker. This last thing was brought to my attention this morning, actually. It can be considered and I hope he can address this from his understanding and from his perspective, because a lot of young people and colleges especially, they're being almost bombarded with a concept called progressive Islam or progressive Muslim. And one brother had the nerve to say, I won't say it like that, a brother he shared, I'll put it in a more better way so we can receive the message rather than the emphasis. He shared with us that he is a progressive Muslim. So the question was asked, well, what is a progressive Muslim? And the response was that we believe that all people, no matter what they believe or how they act, so forth, they should be accepted in Islam. And so I thought about it with the brother who was sharing the story with me, and I told him, I said, well, next time maybe we can share with him that I accept that Muslims should accept all people wherever they are. That doesn't mean we change the fundamental principles of our religion. We're told, we're reminded. And sometimes it goes over the common person here because the common person is not consciously aware of this strategy. It goes directly to those who are in power or in authority, those who establish laws and regulations for the masses of people. The Quran addresses them directly and says, make no alteration on the nature created by Allah, and it continues. So when we say all people should be accepted by Muslims and should be welcomed into Islam, let us be aware of the subtle suggestions that we are not altering the nature of Islam, al-Islam, the submissive way of life that is given by Allah. Because we know there's a big movement going on. And it's a sign, I believe, the thing that's going on in the health arena, where they have these big GMOs, I believe they're called, where they're genetically modifying food. And we're eating food that has been robbed of its natural inheritance. You find fruit today that it takes a seed to produce life, but this finished product has no seed. Our brother shared this morning also that he put an apple and there was no seed in the apple. And so we were encouraged that we have to, because we are in a universal time of living, we're all living in one living room called the earth, and we're known, it is known. All the people of the earth, for the most part, is known by other people of the earth. We as a small community here in America, we have an obligation to continue to establish the life that Allah has given to Muhammad, the Prophet, peace be upon him. And we also bear witness that we should not alter the fair nature created by Allah. So that goes along with our food. And, of course, our behavior. We don't alter our behavioral roles, our pattern of conduct to fit into what is popular, what is presented as popular by oppressors. And we are told, lastly, that anyone who obeys an oppressor has disobeyed. So we ask Allah again to protect us from that, to the scheme of shaitan, the enemy of the people. And again, we look forward to hearing the address today by Imam Alfred Muhammad, who will come before us at this time if he's prepared to deliver. As I think of when I hear public address, but I hear the state of the union, the state of the community. And we should not take it for granted. Any of you who are listening, you have a right to question and to seek answers by what is being said. And Imam Alfred, he always opens up when he's finished stations for you to do that. So never sit by and complain and have issues and have concerns and not have them answered and addressed in the best way, in a positive way, in a sincere way. So we lead way to bring before you Imam Alfred Muhammad.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You listen once again to our public address of Religion Means Alive, the first Sunday address. And we are in spirit with Mosque Cares first Sunday address, where our beloved leader and teacher used to address his audience, two parts, one to the general public and one to the people that were in his association. So we're making this address to the total audience, the total public that may be listening in Asia, some in Europe. It might be people who even listen in South America. And all of you are welcome to listen. Now, we want also you to know that we are targeting primarily those who outside of this target audience. We are primarily serving an audience of people who are recovering from the effects of chattel slavery here in North America, the worst form of slavery. And we're doing it under a triage strategy. That is, if one goes to a hospital and one finds a patient that has a need for an amputation that could cause gangrene and would cause that patient to die, and there may be another person there with a severe headache, but if that patient looks like their vital signs are okay, and they can survive until this amputation takes place, then even though the physician may not be a trained orthopedic surgeon, that physician by protocol would be obligated to first stop death from entering the door, and by the Hippocratic Oath, he or she is obligated to do no harm. So we're not here to do harm, we're here to help. And we are following the mission of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, Warfuddin Muhammad, the mission that is being continued by his son, Imam Warfuddin Muhammad II, or as some of you would call the Warfuddin Muhammad II, the Imam Muhammad's son. We are continuing the tradition that Imam Muhammad said when he resigned from the leadership of ASM. He said, my focus will be on giving the correct image of Al-Islam and working to aid my words. I don't know whether I have them precise or not, but the spirit of the word is pretty much the same, of the descendants of slaves. So that's our focus. Our focus is to represent Al-Islam to our best. And I understand that there are many people out here working to present a correct picture of Al-Islam. So that area is really covered, perhaps not as well as it should be, but I know one thing that's not covered, and that's what we have picked up, and that's the mission of working with the descendants of African-American slaves. That's our target audience. We're targeting the people who come from Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Virginia, who have received the worst treatment ever known to man. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of my subject, because I'm going to come back to that subject, but I just want you to know our focus. But also, any human being that's studying the conditions of the African-American people in its recovery, and even this journey away from Al-Islam, the plantation life, the dehumanization, through the rehumanization process of men like Frederick Douglass, Booker D. Washington, George Washington, Carver, the honorable men and women, and culminating in the final phase of restoration of the nature in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and culminated in the universal global education of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, who was informed by Quran, birthed by his nature, raised and saved by his nature, and informed by the Quran and the perfect life example of Muhammad the Prophet, upon whom the peace, the prayers, and the peace be. Brother Imam Mujahideen, a studious follower and student of Imam Wajiduddin Muhammad, a man that I was privileged to sit in the class with as a young man and watch him attentively. We were in the same class. The teacher was Imam Wajiduddin Muhammad. I sat with him at the Reverend Jesse Jackson headquarters, Bush headquarters, People United to Save Humanity, where the Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson is president. So I don't, Reverend Jackson may call us Alfred or call Imam Muhammad Wallace. I call him the Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson. I refuse to disrespect his title. He may disrespect ours, but my mama trained me too good for that. I didn't throw away my mama's training when I come in the Nation of Islam. So I will respect him. But anyway, continuing, I sat with Brother Imam Mujahideen. He's one that's out front. He's not just got the work, but he's out front with the work. And saw him, observed him, being attentive to the teacher, Imam Wajiduddin Muhammad. I sat in particular at the 2007 Savior's Day at Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson's headquarters, where Imam gave a private address to African American people or to black people or whatever name we call ourselves. That was a private address. And I watched him. He didn't flinch. He wasn't scared. I didn't see Uncle Tom's spirit raising up in him. Pardon me, rising up in him, or rising up in him. I didn't see that. Some get scared when you start talking about ethnicity. Some get frightened. Or they have to run somewhere else. They don't want to put up the flag of that ethnicity. Now, I know we are on the first day of Hajj, and we're going to talk about that too. You know, some people would listen to our speech and they'd say, probably we all over the place and we rambling. No, we on the focus. The focus is the resurrection of African American people. And one of the things, I know this is Generation X. I know this is the multitasking generation. But what we need to do if we want to be resurrected is bring all of our focus together as one, and that is for the resurrection of our people. And if we do that, we would be in a position to bring all of our faculties, our eyes, our vision, our taste, our hearing, our speech, to focus, and we will have resurrected community life. This is the first Sunday. The first Sunday should signify to us that what distinguishes us from animals is that we have an intellect. So our first priority should be to address the intellect. I know we're about 5 hours past, 3 hours past the 11th hour. But we should understand that we are people, been here 400 years, we should hear more than just emotion and spirit. And if you stick with me for the rest of this 2 hours, I'm going to break down to you both spirit in letter, and the end result would be the resurrection of African-American people and placing us in first-class citizenship. And we're going to have some comments by our brother Ismael Kadar, and perhaps even some time for questions and answers. I love what Brother Mujahideen said. We are always open to questions. We even open to challenges. We don't claim to have a monopoly on truth. But we do claim intention being proper, and our methodology is a methodology to the best of our ability that our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Muhammad, gave us. And we're not a historical, we're not psychological, we are a people of Scripture. Now, I have with me two books, The Educational Philosophy of Elijah Muhammad, Education for a New World, and an introduction to Elijah Muhammad's studies, The New Educational Paradigm, Elijah Muhammad's studies, Interdisciplinary Educational and Islamic Studies Series, the author being Abdul Petrie, Dr. Abdul Petrie, chairperson of the Educational Leadership Department at Prairie View A&M University in Prairie View, Texas, formerly the Carter G. Woodson Professor at Edinburgh University, Professor of Education at Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania. Now, Dr. Petrie has written two books on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And say what you might about him, say what you might about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, this is a bold brother, that he said the faith in himself and in God and in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to bring him to the world of the academy. He was able to bring the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to the academy. And there are people walking around with PhDs on academic faculties, and they are frightened and terrified to bring the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to the attention of the public. But Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad was not frightened. He mentioned the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at the Vatican. This is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's birthday. And I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God caused him to be born for a mission to raise his people up. There wouldn't be no Malcolm Shabazz. There wouldn't be no Muhammad Ali. There wouldn't be no Naeem Akbar. There wouldn't be no Louis Farrakhan. There wouldn't even be any Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad had it not been for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So how can I start an address on his birthday and not acknowledge him who took me from the temple to the masjid door? God wouldn't bless me if I were such a person. And you wonder why you're not getting blessed. Because you are ashamed to follow what God says. To rever God and rever that the place of mercy. I'm not going to render it to you in Arabic. This is an English-speaking audience. And God said, rever God and rever that place of the intense mercy of the benefactor. That's what God says. So we acknowledge the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's birth. We acknowledge his